Turn, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. We'd like to read verse 39 through verse 45. Mark, chapter 1, verse 39. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. We live in a society which has adopted the philosophy of entitlement. That is, the average citizen believes that they deserve the American dream. They deserve food, shelter, clothing, a good job, a nice house to live in, a nice car or two, and of late, health insurance. For many, it doesn't matter where it comes from, just as long as they get it. And they may not work, they might not have any money to pay for these perks, but they want them and they deserve them. They think society owes it to them. Entitlement. Sometimes this ideology enters the spiritual realm. That is, professing Christians approach the church with the premise, what can you do for me? Instead of the service of attitude, the attitude is one of receipt. What can I get? And so they think the church owes them. Further, God has been relegated to the position of bowing to man's will and providing any and all things which may come from his lips. The name it, claim it crowd, with all of their faith, can make demands upon God, and of course God has to answer and give to them. Entitlement. When you think of sinners, the average man has the idea that God wants all men to be saved but is too inept to bring them to himself. God is shown as a beggar, pleading and begging the sinner to be saved, almost apologizing for future judgment in hell. God waits on the brink of heaven, looking and longing, hoping for just one sinner to turn to him. And while the sinner, he thinks that he can, at any time he fancies, turn to God and be saved. He believes he can live a life full of sin and wickedness, yet with his dying breath call out to God, and God must save him. His view is that he deserves heaven. And if he should ever get around to demanding forgiveness from God, then God must extend it to him. They think that God owes it to them. Entitlement. The text before us gives us a different view of God and a different view of man. In our passage, you won't even find a hint of entitlement. So, sinner, take heed, for salvation is of the Lord. I want to speak to you this day from verse 40 and verse 41 specifically as our text, but from our passage, what I've entitled, If Thou Wilt. Boy, these are tremendous words. If Thou Wilt. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are able to be here today, and we pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness, providential hindrance, that, Lord, you would bless them, bless the bereaved, comfort them, and those who are traveling, keep them safe. And God, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts today through your word and direct it to us and enlighten our minds by your spirit and teach us that, God, we need to have a right attitude toward you and to know who you are and to know who we are. And God, that we really don't deserve anything, but every good gift and every gracious thing comes from you, and you deserve the honor and the glory and the praise. And we do ask today if there's anyone in our midst today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus and help them to see that they cannot make demands upon you. But you, O God, are on your throne and you're sovereign. And God, we pray that you'd be pleased to move and to save the lost today, that they would come and kneel in repentance and faith and trust you. Lord, we just commit it to you. We honor you. We love you. We praise you. And we ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. If thou wilt. If you just consider the verses of which we read, I have a very brief outline that I want to share with you. You'll notice back in verse 39, the conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ says that he was preaching throughout the synagogues in Galilee, and he was no doubt casting out demons, as it says. But back in verse 34, it tells that as he ministered through there, he also healed people. And so we find him going about doing what he always did, preaching, healing, helping people, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's the conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here as Jesus continues his ministry in verse 40, we have the coming of an individual. Here comes a leper. Leprosy was a very dreaded disease. That was the well-known biggie of the day. That was the one that nobody wanted. It was very destructive, very damaging. It was fatal, and very few people were healed from that. I mean, you can compare it to some of the things in our society. Leprosy is all but eradicated throughout the world, but there are still people who are lepers. But you have to understand that in our society we have different things, and here's this guy, a leper, coming to Jesus Christ, and because he's a leper and he wants help and he has recognized who Jesus is. And so he comes to Jesus, he kneels before him, and he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now there's a lot in there. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but what a gracious thing that it is. This guy sees who he is, comes to Christ, wants Jesus to do something for him. Verse 41, how wonderful, the word compassion comes to mind. The scripture says that he had compassion on him, and he put forth his hand and touched him, which, by the way, was forbidden by the law for anybody to touch a leper such as this. But Jesus touched him, and you know what? He had compassion. He says, "I will. You want me to heal you? I will. Be thou clean." What a tremendous thing. And aren't those great words? Aren't you glad when Jesus said that to you one day? "I will. Be thou clean." Oh, how marvelous that is. And then what we find in verse 42 is the cleansing. The scripture says that when Jesus had spoken those words, that the leprosy departed from him. And my, what a wonderful thing that was. The guy came as a leper and went away healed. That's just tremendous. And so the guy was went away healthy, and then Jesus extends a command to him. We read in verse 43 and verse 44 that he charged him. The commentators consider that the great possibility here is with the charge, kind of like when the woman that was taken in adultery came before him, and he said, "Go and sin no more." That was the idea, and so they believe that the concept here, when Jesus charged this man with leprosy, gave him a charge similar to the idea of "Go and sin no more," and then he told him to give testimony to the things of Moses. You're supposed to go to the priest. And so he encouraged this man to do that very thing. You see, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And one of the things the Jews did in their hatred toward Christ is they said, "Well, you're just teaching against the commandments and all this." No, that wasn't true. He was fulfilling it. And he had commanded this leper to go and show himself to the priest. And then in verse 45, the word commotion comes to mind. Because he was supposed to go to the priest and offer up the proper offering, but instead he went out and began to tell everybody what happened to him, how he was a leper, and how that Jesus spoke to him, laid his hand on him, and healed him. And, you know, it was just a tremendous thing. And, of course, that went around and spread very rapidly. And it says in the text, then last part of verse 45, that Jesus couldn't even enter into the city because there was such a buzz about that thing. How tremendous of an event that we have within our text, the healing of a leper. Well, what I want you to do, I want you to focus in a little bit more by going back to verse 40 and verse 41 and note the story of the text. You have the entire story in your mind, the entire concept, but I just want to pick out these two verses. And then we're going to zoom a little bit closer in just a moment. Verse 40, verse 41, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." And so what we have in these two verses is really directly the matter of this leper being cleansed. He was a leper. Now, if you know anything about Bible research and study and things of that nature, you'll know that leprosy is a type or a picture of sin as presented in the Bible. And so that means that this guy is a picture or a representation or a type of a sinner. And so you have one full of sin coming to Jesus Christ. Very simply, we can boil it down to this. Here is a man in need. Now, you may not consider that much because you don't have that much familiarity with leprosy. But if we should talk about cancer or HIV or any kind of thing that's in our society that's very destructive and fatal, you know what? You can connect with that a lot quicker than you will with leprosy. But here's a fella that is in great need, but he pictures a sinner full of sin. So you have to keep that picture in mind. And so he comes to Jesus, he approaches Jesus. Now why does he do that? Either he has seen Jesus perform in other cities, or even in that city had seen him do something earlier, or at the very least he had heard of him. He's not going to run to Jesus with his leprosy if he doesn't think that Jesus can do something for him. But no doubt he had heard that people have been healed in other places. Other lepers have been healed. He has leprosy. Maybe Jesus can do something for him. Whatever the case, whether he's seen or whether he's heard, he knows that he can come to Jesus, and he approaches Jesus. And in approaching Jesus, he recognizes his power. He believes that Jesus can do something for him, that Jesus can take care of his leprosy. So here's the leper, a man in need, coming to Jesus, who he believes can help him. Now the scripture says in verse 40 that he was kneeling down to him. You know what this is? This is a show of humility. A show of humility. He comes to Jesus. He's heard Jesus heal before. He's seen it perhaps. But he comes to Jesus. And what's he do? He falls at the feet of Jesus and makes declaration unto him. I'm reminded of the Shunammite woman back in the Old Testament scriptures when, if you remember, that God had used her to provide for Elijah during the famine, and God gave her a son, and by the son died, and she went to Elijah to talk to him about that, and God had hidden why she was coming. And when the Shunammite came in, she fell at his feet. And Gehazi, the servant, was going to come thrust her away. And Elijah says, no, don't do that. God has hidden this from me. And so he asked her, what's your problem? Well, the problem was the son died. Well, she didn't come in and say, hey, you owe me. You got to bring my son back to life. She came to Elijah and fell at his feet and said, I told you not to deceive me in regard to the son. And then Elijah knew. God revealed it to him. And then Elijah went and healed the son, raised him from the dead. Now that's tremendous. You don't find this leper coming to Jesus like he's the next one in line saying, you know what, you have to heal me. You have to take care of this problem. You owe me. You don't see that, do you? The guy comes in with absolute humility, falls down before Jesus' feet. That's a great show of humility. And his request really is not a request as far as we're concerned. It's a declaration, but it is indeed a request of Jesus. Notice he falls before him and he says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. You can heal me. Now this truly is a desire for healing, isn't it? The guy's a leper. He's coming to Jesus. He wants to get rid of his leprosy. He believes Jesus can take care of it. And so he goes to Jesus and says, if you want to, you can heal me. Well, that's good news, isn't it? It is for him, but he makes that simple declaration, falls at his feet. If you want to, you could take care of my problem. Jesus has taken care of many a leper's problem. He healed many a lame people, blind people, deaf people, people who were had a demon possessed. Jesus had done great many wonderful works, and this guy wants in on it. This leper wants what others have received. He wants to be healed. And so he comes to Jesus, falls before him in abject humiliation, and says, if you will, you can make me clean. And what happened? Jesus had compassion on him. That's what the scripture says. Aren't you glad for the compassion of God? He had compassion on him, and he healed him. I will, be thou clean. And his leprosy just disappeared. Do you think of old Naaman, the Syrian general, when he was full of leprosy, and the maid spoke of how he was with the prophet in Samaria, that he would heal him of his leprosy, and he went down to the king of Israel. Well, that wasn't the right place, so he was supposed to go to the prophet. He ended up anyway at Elisha's doorstep, and as Elisha was there, the guy was just said, you know, I'm here to be healed. And Elisha says, well, go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll come out healed. And you know that Naaman the general, he got all upset and bent out of shape. You know why? He said, behold, I thought he'd come out and he would do it this way, do it that way, lay hands on me, and I'd be recovered of my leprosy. He thought that the prophet had to heal him. He thought he had to heal him in a specific way. He wasn't humble like this leper. He was arrogant. But he was so upset, he turned away in a rage, the scripture says. And so as he went away in a rage, the servant came to him and said, listen, you'd have done something great if he asked you to do it. He's just asking you to go down and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. That's just simple. Why don't you do that? He had a change of heart, change of mind, went down to the Jordan River, dipped in there 7 times, came out. Why, his flesh was as a baby. I mean, he was brand new, healed of his leprosy. He didn't come to Elisha with humility like the leper, but he finally had a change of heart, change of mind, and he responded, and he was healed. I'm glad for healing. I'm glad that the Naaman was healed. I'm glad that this leper was healed. I'm glad that you've been healed if you're saved today. Can I make that application? I believe that I can. What we find in the passage then, a very great story of this leper, and I tried to zoom in a little bit. Now let's just zoom in a little bit further. One more time, get out the old microscope and go click it down a few more notches and look at verse 40, and I want you to consider what this guy said. I want to give you some thoughts from the phrase, if thou wilt. This leper comes to Jesus, he besought him, kneeling down to him, and he said unto him, here's the statement I want you to focus in on. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Can we learn from this? Can we glean anything from the example of this leper coming to Jesus for healing? Sinner, can you learn anything from it? There are a few points I want to submit unto you. First of all, I would submit that there was a confessed need. He came to Jesus and he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Implied in this statement is the need to be cleansed. The guy was obviously a leper. He knew he was a leper. He wasn't in denial. He knew he needed cleansing. And so he has a confessed need. He's coming to Jesus and he says, if you will, you can make me clean. I need to be clean. That's the idea, isn't it? You know, psychologists say that if you can't admit that you have a problem, you'll never be over that problem because you don't think you have one. And how true that really is. If you can't admit that you have a problem, you'll not seek any help. If you don't think you have cancer, you're not going to go to the doctor. If you don't think you have a problem, you're not going to seek for help. And if you don't believe you're a sinner and you think you're all right and you just made a few mistakes along the way, and you know what? You'll never turn to Jesus. This guy had a confessed need. But I also believe from this, secondly, that he had this was an admitted inability. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now what's he saying? He's saying, I have a need, but the problem is, I can't fix it. I can't take care of it. Do you think if this guy could have healed the leprosy, he would have? He wouldn't have taken the time to go down to see Jesus if he could have done it on his own. But he couldn't do it. No doctor could help him. It was beyond everybody's capability. Only God could do it. And of course, Jesus, who is God in the flesh. And so here's a fella who had a confessed need and he admitted he couldn't do anything about that. And so he comes to Jesus. And so that's what we find is the declared opportunity. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He obviously believed that Jesus could heal him. What an opportunity. Do you know why you go to the doctor when you're sick? Because you believe that guy can do something to help you out. He can perform surgery on you or give you medication or prescribe a therapy or something. And you go to them because you believe they can help you. Isn't that what you do? You turn to people who you believe can help you because you can't do it yourself. Here's the leper. He knows he's sick. He knows he can't do anything about it, and he turns to the one who he believes can do it. So he comes to Jesus, and he says, if you will, you can make me clean. That speaks a lot of Jesus. But do you realize here in that statement that he makes, the subjunctive there, if thou wilt, do you realize the focal point is the will of Jesus? If you will, you can make me clean. Doesn't matter how much the leper wants to be healed. If Jesus doesn't want to do it, it's not going to be done. If the friends of the leper want it to be done, if God doesn't want to do it, it won't be done. Do you recognize the key here is the will of God? The will of Jesus? If thou wilt. I know you can, but it's a matter of whether or not you will choose to do so. If you would, you can make me clean. And so that's how the leper approaches Jesus, declaring his need and admitting his inability, but knowing that God can do something. Jesus can heal him. And so he requests assistance. Now this declaration that he makes implies the request. If you will, you can make me clean. That's why he's there. So he really is asking, would you please heal me? Would you please take away this dreaded disease? I'm tired of it. Would you cleanse me? And so he does request assistance. And of course, we know from the text that he had answered prayer. Jesus was moved with compassion. In verse 41, he says, I will, be thou clean. Those sweet words, aren't they? I will, be thou clean. Now you think about these things that I've tried to present to you, these thoughts from the phrase, if thou wilt. You know, all these things indicate that his request is not something of works, it's not something of merit, but it's all of mercy and grace. Do you find entitlement here at all? Do you find the leper at all saying, you have to heal me. I deserve to be healed. You healed other people, you have to do it for me. You don't find that. You find a leper coming before Jesus Christ and saying, I know that you can. Would you please do it? And it's all dependent on whether or not you will choose to do so. Would you heal me? You've healed others. Would you heal me? All of mercy, all of grace, no entitlement. With humility, this leper comes to Jesus asking for help, and he receives help. Now, can we learn from this? Can we glean from it? Dear sinner today, can you learn from the example of the leper? My final point of the message is the fact that this story is illustrative of a sinner. I think we can make some comparisons here of a sinner who would respond to Christ and a desire to be saved. One of the commentators said this, and I quote, such was this man. He was a very lively emblem of a poor, vile sinner, full of sin and iniquity, who is brought to see himself all over covered with sin when he comes to Christ for pardon and cleansing, and is so considered by Christ the High Priest when he applies his justifying righteousness and sin-purging blood to his conscience. Again, he says, the poor man was persuaded Christ could cleanse him and humbly submits it to his will. Thus it is with poor sensible sinners under their first awakenings. They can believe in the ability of Christ to justify them by his righteousness, cleanse them by his blood, and save them by his grace to the uttermost. That's the idea, end quote, by the way. That's the idea of this sinner. This leper coming to Jesus to be healed. I believe there's a direct application, an illustration here that we can find. And so I want to enumerate these to you. There are six of them. They're on the back side of the prayer request. But I want to make an application for every sinner. You're here and you're lost. Listen up. You're here and you're saved. Listen up. Keep in mind, hey, you know what? This had to have been true for me. What is this? First of all, we find debilitating sin. You're a sinner, my friend. The Bible says all sin and come short of the glory of God. I know that's not popular. I know that's not seeker friendly. But the Bible says every person is a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. And it doesn't matter whether you committed big sins or little sins. If you're not saved, if you're not forgiven, you're a sinner. You're just like this leper. You're full of it. You're carried over. I mean, every part of you is covered with sin. The Scripture teaches a doctrine which we define as called total depravity. That is, sin has affected every portion of your being. I'll tell you, sin even affects your will, the choices which you make. You have to see yourself, dear sinner friend, as somebody who's totally consumed, somebody who is ravaged with this disease. Sin's not a disease, but as you make a comparison between leprosy and a sinner, sin is debilitating. I mean, it's corrupting. It will keep you out of heaven. You say, well, I'll live a good enough life, I'll do just enough, and God will receive me. It will not be enough because you've already sinned. You must understand that. You're already guilty. You're already under condemnation. There is nothing you can do to take care of your sin. You're already corrupted. You're full of leprosy, as it were. Recognize the parallel. So there's debilitating sin, but certainly then, secondly, there's the demonstrative sovereign. Jesus went about before healing and raising the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons. And I want you to know that God's on His throne today. He's in control. He's not up there wringing His hands and wondering what man's going to do next. God is the sovereign God, and His ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. And we can't even begin to understand anything about who God is. We just can barely scratch the surface of it, and still we wonder. God is so far above us, my friend. And, you know, the Scripture teaches us that what He makes straight, no one can bend. And what He bends, nobody can make straight. We can't understand His thoughts. He's the potter, we're the clay. And none can say unto Him, what doest thou? Why have you made me thus? God is God. And this God has gone around and He's healed people. Could He heal? Yes. Could He cast out demons? Yes. Well, in application, can God still save people today? He's the one who is the Savior. He's the one who has provided for us eternal life. He's the one that's made it possible whereby we can be cleansed through the precious blood of Jesus. But He's the Savior. He's the sovereign God of the universe. And I'll tell you, no more do we have the right to go before God and say, God, You've made me a leper and You have to heal me. Do we have a right to go before God and say, God, I'm a sinner, You have to save me? We don't have that right. We don't have that ability. We're sinners. We're condemned. And we need to understand that we're depraved and God is holy and God is just. But the good thing about this is the declared Savior. He comes to Jesus and He says, if You will, You can make me clean. I've seen You do it for others. You can do it for me. And I'll tell you today, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleansed me. He brought me into His kingdom back in 1974. Excuse me. And I have eternal life. But God saved me. God is the one that, Jesus who's died on the cross, He was crucified, He was buried, and He rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father. It was God who convicted me of my sin. It was God who drew me by His Spirit. It was God who gave me new life in Christ. You say, well, did you repent and believe? Yes, I did. But salvation is of the Lord. I didn't approach God at that time and say, God, You have to save me. In all of my arrogance. And say, well, I'm a sinner, but You have to give me eternal life. I didn't approach God that way, did you? And yet there's a whole host of people in our society that believe that very idea. They think they can demand of God at any instant, God, You must save me. And I'll tell you, there, God has demonstrated that He's the sovereign God and He is the declared Savior. But what I like about this story, and we can make application, there's a definite submission. That old leprosy came before, that leper came before Jesus, fell at His feet, and said, if You will, You can make me clean. He wasn't bold, He wasn't arrogant, He wasn't forceful. He simply fell at the feet of Jesus and said, it all depends on You. If You will, You can save me. And dear sinner, today I want you to know that's how you must approach God. You can only come to Him by that simple humility. God, You're God. You provided the way for eternal life. And if You would, You could save me. But I know You don't have to. I tell you, that's a different approach than what we see in our society. There must be a definite submission. You know, some people are just playing the odds. They just figure, well, you know what? I know I need to be saved. I know I'm on my way to hell. But I know that salvation is available through Jesus Christ. They've heard it. They've known it for years and years and years. But they're taking a big risk. They're taking a big chance. They just say, well, you know what? I'll just wait until later. Young people will do that. They'll wait and they'll say, well, you know that I need to be saved and I want Christ to give me eternal life, but I'm going to wait until I get a little bit older so I can have my fun during my 20s and 30s, and then I'll get saved older. Well, how do you know God will save you when you're 40 or 50 or 60? What if God doesn't move in your spirit, heart? What if He doesn't convict you of your sin? You think you can just walk in before the throne of God and just out of sheer will say, God, you have to save me? Do you think God's going to bow to your will? I know that's not a very public consideration, you know. Not many people like that too much. But I'll tell you, if you're going to approach God, you better approach it His way. And it's going to be a matter of submission. And dear sinner, if you're lost today, you ought to be shaking in your boots. I mean, really, truly, you ought to be afraid of God. You ought to be fearful of His wrath. And you ought to be afraid that even if you went to Him, He might turn you away. And I'll tell you, you just need to go before God and humbly fall before Him like this leper and say, God, if You will, You'll save me. Would you save me? Now I'm a little bit more expressive in order to drive the point home. But I absolutely believe with all my heart that if you'll turn to God with that kind of attitude, He'll save you. He will not turn you away. I believe that. But don't you know that you don't have the right to demand that upon God? God doesn't owe you heaven. He doesn't owe you forgiveness of sins. He doesn't. And you need to learn it, sinner. The leper didn't deserve it, yet Jesus gave it to him. As a sinner, I didn't deserve it, but He gave it to me. Oh, I'm so glad that He did. And so there's a definite submission, but then there's a desired salvation. That's what He's asking for. Will you cleanse me? And my friend, if you in your heart will humbly approach God and confess your sin, confess your inability, you can't do it, but Jesus can. God made all the provision for you. You want to be saved. Would you go before God? Would you cry out to Him? Remember what Paul told the Philippian jailer? He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Would you go to God? Would you turn to Him today? Would you, in humility, say, God, I know I don't deserve heaven. I know I deserve hell. I don't deserve any good thing. But I know I'm doomed to a devil's hell. Would you save me? Would you cleanse me? Would you, in that attitude, turn to Christ? Would you desire salvation of Christ today? Would you be saved? This leper desired to be healed, and he was healed, wasn't he? And so I submit in the last portion of this idea, you know what? There's a deliverance that's secured. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. And I mentioned unto you just a moment ago that if you will approach God in that capacity, if you will approach Him with humility and reverence and awe and bow the knee to Jesus Christ and submit to Him, you know what? He won't turn you away. You'll hear those words, I will be thou clean. I believe that with all of my heart. If you in repentance will turn to Jesus Christ and say, would you save me? I will. I will. But it's not up to you, it's up to Him. If thou wilt, you can make me clean. God, if you'll save me, you're the only one that can. Will you save me? And if you go in the proper fashion as God moves in your heart and convicts in your soul, you know what? He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life. You'll be healed. And you'll be changed forever. What a joy. What a joy. And so I've made an application of this leper to the sinner today. And I pray that you would take heed so that you might be saved. But then finally, it may be seen for those who are cleansed. You know what? Back in verse 2, you see, 42 rather, you see that a personal response brings a personal change. Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And it says, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Whoo, that's good. And if you were a sinner one day, my friend, you went to Jesus and you, what'd he do? He saved you. And your leprosy departed, as it were. You've been forgiven. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Back in 1974, in February, God changed my heart. God brought about in me a personal response. I turned to Jesus Christ, and He saved me. A personal response brings personal change. God will give you eternal life, dear friend, dear sinner friend, you can be cleansed today. Would you, in simple humility, admit your sin, admit your inability, and believe on who God is and what God has done, and believe on Him that you might be saved? Would you trust Him? Of course, then you find in the passage that this guy, after he was changed, after he was saved, he went out and ministered to others. He went out and told other people what had happened to him. And no doubt he was going to people he knew. Hey, you're a leper. He healed me. He can heal you. There's still opportunity today. God hasn't stopped His saving grace. God still saves sinners. Would you repent today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you have eternal life today? You can be saved today. If you would repent, believe on Him, cry out to Him, I believe you'll hear the words, I will be thou clean. But surely and foremost, we also find that good news such as this should be published and braised abroad, as you read in verse 45. That's what that guy went out and did, just told everybody. He was excited. And that is good news, isn't it? So if you're here today and you know you're saved, you know there was a time in your life where you went before God like that sinner, and you cried out for mercy, and God saved you. You've never forgotten that, have you? You know it's true. And I believe there is within every one of our hearts a desire to tell others about what God has done for us. And that's what He had done for him. And so he went out and blazed it abroad. Let me give you a very brief conclusion. We have a grand illustration of a man who was in great need, but one who was without ability, but who came to the one who could make a difference. And he was cleansed. That's really the story, isn't it? A leper, unable, defiled, it's fatal, couldn't do anything about it, but he goes to the one who does and received healing. I tell you, just that in itself should compel any sinner to go to Jesus. Would you let the lesson speak to your heart? You're here today and you're lost. Can't you recognize how that applies to you? You can't do it. You're on your way to hell. Just go to Jesus. In humility, trust Him. That should compel you. But then yet, within this story, are three words which jump off the page at us. If thou wilt. And this, my sinner friend, is exemplary of how you must approach the Savior. You can't make demands of God. You can't demand the blood. You can't command God to save you. All you can do as a sinner, a helpless sinner, all you can do is go before Jesus and bow the knee of your heart and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve it. I don't merit it. I can't perform it. But you can save me. Sinner, would you be saved today? Would you have that kind of attitude? I close with this quote from one more commentary. Listen. This was an exhibition of great faith and also an acknowledgement of his dependence on the will of Jesus in order to be healed. So every sinner must come. He must feel that Jesus can save him. He must also feel that he has no claim on him, that it depends on his sovereign will. And he must cast himself at his feet with the proper feelings of the leper. Then he gives a poem. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I shall forever die. And then he says, happily, no one who ever came to Jesus with this feeling who was not received and pardoned. No one. Everyone who comes with this attitude, everyone with that perception, was received and pardoned. I tell you, my friend, you can be saved today if you'll approach God on His terms and not yours. He's the Savior. Salvation is of the Lord. He's made it available. You can have it, but you can't demand it. Would you today be as the leper? Recognize your need, recognize your inability, and humbly come before the Christ and be saved. Right where you are, you can do that. You can cry out in your heart to God to save you. And I believe He'll hear your prayer if you are approaching as God says. And as God moves, you can have eternal life. And it'll change your life forever. I tell you, it's a great opportunity, isn't it? Sinner, wouldn't you like to hear those words? I will be thou clean. I tell you, you need Christ. Oh, that you'd be saved. And we who are saved, we rejoice in the salvation He's given us. And we glory in His grace and His mercy in that He saved us. I'd like for us to stand and sing. The invitation simply is this. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation is, as we stand and sing, if you need Christ and you know you're lost, right where you are, you can be saved. If you'll repent, believe on Him, call upon Him, fall at His feet, just as the leper. But if you need help, you come. We'll be glad to help you. But walking an aisle won't save you. Repeating a prayer after me won't save you. I'll tell you, you have to. It's faith in Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And He alone can save you. Would you turn to Him? Father, bless Your word to our hearts and draw us to You. And I pray if there's any here today that would be lost, that You would convict them of their sin. Draw them to Jesus. Grant unto them repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. Lord, I pray that You'd work in their heart and draw them by Your Spirit in such a manner that they would fall in humility before You and cry out for forgiveness. And God, we pray that You would hear that prayer, that they'd be saved. And may we who are saved be encouraged and be thankful for the salvation You've given to us. May we live for You. May we serve You. May we love You. And I pray that Your perfect will would be accomplished today, because even in what we ask You to do, we understand, if Thou wilt. May Your will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?